Welcome to the Haney Biz Project with Mark Haney. Mark is a serial investorpreneur and the chief dreaming officer of the Haney Biz Companies. He's working tirelessly to ignite the entrepreneurial revolution and share the inspiring stories of the region's most influential leaders. Coming to you from the Marquee Media Studio, here's Mark Haney.
Oops, not Mark Haney. Mark is absent today because he has an emergency going on. I'm Greg Van Dusen. I work with Mark. I produce this show, and I'm thrilled to be here with Marcus Haney.
Fired up to be here, Greg. I'm just going to clarify for the audience out there that you are the person who put this entire show together. So without you, we would not be here. So thanks for all you've done.
I didn't know we were playing the blame game.
You know how we do it.
No, I appreciate that. This whole thing started 3 years ago now.
Yeah.
The idea was conceived about 3 years and 3 months. Mark was talking in his very office with Kevin Nagel, who's the majority owner of the Republic and the largest local owner of the Kings, and Mark just started quizzing Kevin. And it was absolutely amazing. It went on for half an hour, and I called time out. And I said, when did you become Bob Costas?
Uh-huh.
And Nagel laughed, and he said, right, I just told this guy, I didn't even know him, and I just told him stuff I've never told anybody, including my ex.
Oh.
It turned out to be true. And so they went back to talking, and I started texting people in radio saying, hey, can we buy an hour? We got to get Mark on the air talking to people who are really pro-business and want to see the private sector thrive in Sacramento. I'm using the word thrive on purpose, Sandy, because that's a big Kaiser word, because it's always been a government town. And fortunately now, I think with the arena going downtown and other businesses going down there, we've got a huge revitalization going on, and it's a complete change in culture. Out of respect for Mark, and I have tremendous respect for Mark, I'm going to read a quote that he was going to start the show with, and it has to do with the theme of the show today. And here's what Mark wrote. The most important questions a successful leader must ask are centered around vision, purpose, mission, values, and philosophies. But how do we create a company culture that brings out the best in our entire team? After all, we would be nowhere without our team, right? Right, Harold?
Correct.
Got to have the team. After all, we would be nowhere. As entrepreneurs, we are best served by creating a winning culture, an environment that combines humility and ambition. Mark calls it humble and hungry, the H&H culture. It attracts like-minded individuals who are committed to asking themselves the tough questions. It's a workplace where everyone is dedicated enough to give brutally honest answers, the kind of answers we need to succeed and keep improving. So how are you building your culture? Marcus, you've got a company, you're an entrepreneur. How are you building the culture?
Yeah, well, you know, I look back to my time in the Marine Corps, and the culture it started day one of selflessness. It's all about the man or woman to your left or your right, giving your all for that person, knowing that there might not be any retaliatory offerings to you. So in my opinion, to build a good culture, you have to make yourself vulnerable. You have to put yourself out there into a position to have people lean on you when times are tough, and then to have the type of people that you can lean on when times are tough for yourself personally.
Yeah, I can relate. You're a veteran of Afghanistan. You're a Purple Heart vet. You got shot there. I'm a Vietnam vet. And I think that my combat experience has shaped me in a way that I believe that if you don't have that person that you can trust, I mean, basically, you either can or you can't trust people.
Yeah, or you don't have anything, right?
Yeah, there's nothing in between. And
absolutely.
It's like hanging or banging. Are you hanging or banging today?
Yeah, well, I'm banging. You know, a little bit on the low side. Obviously, I have a family dynamic that has taken Mark away from the studio here, Marquee Media Studio. But you know, looking about how Haney Biz is building their company culture and what they're doing internally of bringing some of the best young minds together, from Jeff over here behind the mics doing all the technical work to Alexis doing all the social media and the marketing and things along those lines. Everybody works together in a seamless fashion to drive the better purpose of leaving this place better than we found it, even through the Allegiant Giving Partners Association and stuff like that we are doing all together.
Well said. Speaking of Allegiant Giving, we had a golf tournament last Friday. We want to thank our sponsors, the big sponsors of the tournament, Five Star Bank, the Entrepreneurs Bank, Warrior Trading, and the Sac Republic. It was a tremendous tournament. We don't have the final numbers in yet, but we're going to be giving some decent money to some combat injured veterans and to the Carlson Center for Innovation and Entrepreneurship at Sac State. And we'll be able to announce those numbers probably in another week. Excuse me, Jeff, there's your edit job. You know, today we have an amazing show because you don't have to be an entrepreneur to have the entrepreneurial spirit or be part of the entrepreneurial ecosystem in Sacramento, which is really on a roll right now.
No doubt.
And so later in the show, we're going to be talking about that with Harold Presley, who was a professional basketball player, but now he's a philanthropist and a serial entrepreneur. But coming up next, right after the break, right here in the Marquee Media Studios, we're going to be talking with Sandy Sharon, who's had a lengthy career with Kaiser. She's a local Sacramento native and has risen to the top. She is the senior VP and area manager for Kaiser Permanente, and they've got some big news to share with us. So we'll be right back after this break.
Now, back to Marquee Media Studio and the Haney Biz Project with your host, Mark Haney.
All right, once again, it's Greg Van Dusen subbing for Mark today. And as Mark would say, all right, all right, all right, welcome back to the Haney Biz Project, brought to you by Comstocks Magazine and by California Backyard, the outdoor living headquarters in the Sacramento region. We're joined by Sandy Sharon. We are blessed to be joined by Sandy Sharon, who's the area VP, or the senior VP and area manager for Kaiser Permanente. Sandy, thanks for coming out here.
Sure. Love to be here.
Well, we're happy to have you. What is your geographic scope? Let's start with that.
Sure. I'm responsible for the Sacramento area, and I have a counterpart in Roseville, Jordan Herget, and then a counterpart in South Sacramento, Trish Rodriguez.
Okay. We've had Trish on the show before.
Yeah.
Okay. So, you've got so much going on, and Kaiser has what appears to be a multi-billion dollar economic, a financial commitment that not what you've already spent, but what you're spending now and spending in the future. What is it about Sacramento that makes it so important to Kaiser Permanente?
Well, our members, primarily. We have a large membership in the Sacramento area, the greater Sacramento area, and for a long time, you know, we've really primarily built our facilities out in the suburbs where our members lived. But with the revitalization of Sacramento, we've seen a huge movement into the downtown area, and we've always had a lot of members that worked in the downtown area. And so we've wanted to have a presence in the downtown area and have had a plan to have three major investments in the downtown area. And that started first with our sports medicine center. The first sports medicine center actually located in a professional arena in the Golden One Center. The second phase is our downtown commons medical office buildings, which are opening today, or Monday, excuse me, on 501 J Street, and then the third phase will be our replacement hospital in the historic rail yards.
So let's talk about, let's take those in the order that you started with.
Sure.
You know, I was active in bringing the Kings to Sacramento, and it's amazing to me that you've carved out 18 or 20,000 square feet in the new arena, the Golden One Center, and you actually have a sports medicine clinic there. And Dr. Jason Braley heads that up, and he is the official team physician for the Kings. How did you pull that off?
Well, I think with good medicine, you know, primarily. But, you know, the concept of having the sports medicine center actually located with the arena, I think, has been an evolution. And we've seen with other professional sports teams, the sports medicine clinic nearby. But, you know, with the Kings, I think they were innovative. We were innovative and said, let's do it inside the arena. So it's very convenient, just steps away from where the players practice. And, you know, when the NBA Sports Commissioner Adam Silver came through and toured the sports medicine clinic, he felt like this was groundbreaking and really should be the template for all future sports arenas.
Well, I think there's no question of that. It puts a different emphasis on all kinds of sports medicine for the Kings players, and there because it a lot more becomes preventive and all kinds of stuff. But I have three kids who played traveling soccer, and of course they all had to go see orthopedists from time to time. Mm-hmm. And I can't imagine what a thrill it would have been for my kids to actually go to the Golden One Center for their care. Have you found that among your members?
Well, since the first day we opened in October of 2016, the schedules have been full. So I think many people feel that way. And it's not just kids, but, you know, also some of us that are weekend athletes as well.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, I think that's tremendous. So today, as we speak, public gets to preview your new six-story renovation. It's an older building, but the way it looks now doesn't look old at all. And it's right there on the corner of 5th and J, right across the street, basically from the arena.
Mm-hmm.
So what all is going to be in those 200,000 square feet?
Sure. It's really primary care. So there's pediatrics, there's women's health, there's family medicine. And in addition, for the first time in our Sacramento area, we'll have what we call a Salud en Español clinic module. And so that, in Spanish, that means health in Spanish. So that module serves our Latino community, and all of the physicians and the staff that work in that module are bilingual. And so we can provide culturally sensitive care in that clinic as well. And then, you know, a hallmark of our Kaiser Permanente medical office buildings are that we try to provide our members with one-stop shopping. So within these medical offices, we also have a pharmacy. We have diagnostic imaging. So if you needed an X-ray or MRI, you can have that done as well. We have a laboratory, and then we have optical services. And then outside of our primary care, we do have some specialty services there. Our oncology services will be located also at 501 J Street. And so all the patients that need to receive chemotherapy can go there for infusion. And it's on the sixth floor, so the patients all have a beautiful view of the skyline of Sacramento. And the seats that they sit in are heated, and they are, have massage available for them as well.
That sounds fantastic. Now, this is not a replacement facility. You're not taking other things and moving them here so much. This is all new, right?
Right, and this is to meet our growing membership.
Joy, no kidding. How many new healthcare professionals did you have to hire to make this happen?
Well, I can't give you the exact number on how many new professionals we've had to hire. Some of the existing physicians at our Point West and our Fair Oaks medical office buildings will be moving, as well as some new physicians. So that the Downtown Commons medical office building will hold 86 physicians.
That's a lot of docs.
Yeah.
That's a lot of docs. It's a tremendous commitment to the urban core and to Sacramento's rebirth, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know, I think part of our mission is about building healthy communities. And part of a healthy community, you know, you spoke to earlier, is building the economic health as well. And we're very proud to be a part of this revitalization downtown. And we're making a hefty investment in that downtown area, not just through direct dollars in the construction costs, but also in the jobs that will be located downtown and in the Downtown Commons medical offices. There'll be 500 physicians and staff eventually that are working in that particular building. So those will be people who are coming into the downtown core every day, recreating, dining out.
Yeah, good paying jobs.
Yeah.
People with discretionary income to make other businesses around them do well too. So tell us about your plans at the northwest corner of the rail yard, right there along I-5, the rail yard being the largest urban infill project in the United States, and you're taking a huge piece of it.
Yeah, we are very excited to be planning. We're purchasing property there in the historic rail yards, and that will be our replacement hospital for our Sacramento Medical Center on Morse Avenue. And some of you may know and have used that hospital. It was built in 1965, and so we're outgrowing that space, as well as it doesn't meet the seismic requirements mm-hmm. necessary that need to be in place by 2030. So this will be a complete replacement hospital.
Now, I know it hasn't been fully designed yet, but it's my impression that it just might be the largest medical center, hospital, in the entire region. That's quite a commitment.
Yeah, we're making a big investment, and, you know, it will be a state-of-the-art facility. Currently at our Morse Avenue facility, we provide tertiary-level neurosurgical and neurological care, and so those services will be moving, as well as our obstetric services. We haven't had obstetrics at Sacramento since 2009 when that moved out to the Roseville area, so we'll be happy to be having a labor and delivery in the Sacramento and the downtown Sacramento area for our members in that area.
That's fantastic. We're going to come back with Sandy for one more segment, and we're going to talk about how Kaiser has grown over the years from a prepaid health plan beginning in Oakland to being an absolute dynamo in so many locations now. But first, we want to thank Audi Rockland and DCA Capital for being our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
Welcome back to the Marquee Media Studio with Mark Haney, igniting the entrepreneurial revolution with the Haney Biz Project.
Hey, if you're just tuning in, I'm Greg Van Dusen, subbing for Mark, so don't be too disappointed. We're doing our best, and we always have great guests. And right now, we get back to our conversation with Sandy Sharon, who's the area VP, or I'm sorry, the senior VP and area manager for Kaiser Permanente. Sandy, how long you been with Kaiser?
22 years.
How'd you start?
Well, my clinical background is as a nurse, and I worked in critical care and emergency room nursing. So originally, when I came to Sacramento, I came to our Sacramento facility as a director in nursing.
That's fantastic. And talk about, if you would, your progression up the food chain to the point where you could be a senior VP, because that's an incredible rise. And you are a local product, Castle Roble High School, American River College, right?
Yeah, very proud Sacramentan.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it was good timing on my part, and not intentional, but really accidental. You know, Kaiser Permanente and Sacramento were experiencing tremendous growth when I signed on with Kaiser in 1997. And at the time, we just had our Sacramento and South Sacramento facilities, and our Roseville facility opened up in 1998. So I got caught in the wave of that and served as the chief nursing officer in Roseville, then the chief operating officer, and from there moved to Sacramento as the senior VP and area manager.
Well, now your friend Lynn Visser, with whom you worked earlier in your career and is a neighbor of Haneyville, is here, and she told us that you were always a dynamo, always striving, and just never, ever could be good enough. You always had to get better, that you're really a driven person.
Well, if Lynn said that, it must be true.
And humble, we might add, humble. So when did Kaiser start?
Oh, you mean our beginnings?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Corporate beginning.
Yeah, really, Kaiser Permanente, you know, began with Henry Kaiser and mm-hmm. Dr. Sidney Garfinkel out in the Mojave Desert. They were building a dam, uh-huh. and they had lots of workers out there doing physical labor, and there weren't any healthcare services available to them. So they set up a clinic out in the desert. And what was really innovative, so the workers could afford the care, they developed a prepaid plan where the workers would pay a nickel a day and be guaranteed the health care that they needed. And out of that was born Kaiser Foundation Health Plan, which is our insurance, and then later Kaiser Foundation Hospitals, and was this concept of a prepaid health plan with an emphasis on keeping people well and thriving, preventative care. And then if you did get ill and needed services, we would be able to provide those.
So that's the entrepreneurial story.
Yeah,
behind
very
Kaiser.
Revolutionary.
And Henry Kaiser was Kaiser Steel?
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
And now we buy his aluminum foil, right? Kaiser Aluminum. That's an incredible story. And the headquarters is now in Oakland, right?
Yes.
How many different communities is Kaiser in?
Oh, nationwide?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we're very prominent on the West Coast from San Diego up to Seattle, mm-hmm. on the entire West Coast, so in all three states. We're also in Colorado, Georgia, and then in the Mid-Atlantic, we have a presence as well in the Washington, D.C., Virginia area, Baltimore.
I've really enjoyed watching Kaiser grow. In 1982, my oldest son, Adam, was born at Kaiser on Morris Avenue. And at that time, that was a fairly large facility. Now it's tiny,
yes,
but, you know, relatively speaking.
Yeah.
But the growth in Kaiser, I know so many people who work there, and they appreciate Kaiser's the quality of care that's demanded, and it starts at the very core of your mm-hmm. values.
Yeah, I would say that, you know, this emphasis on health and wellness is in our DNA, but really looking externally, you know, has become very, very important for us, and wanting to be in the top 10% no matter what quality indicator, you know, is publicly reported. But that's our goal, always to be there. And because we're an integrated system, if there's a best practice that comes out, we're able to spread that quickly throughout our system. And, you know, we like to say one KP. If you're a Kaiser member and you come in San Diego or Sacramento or Georgia, you should receive that same level of care and that same best practice.
So with those kind of best practices, that sets the tone for the corporate culture.
Mm-hmm.
So if you were to describe the corporate culture at Kaiser Permanente and how it's evolved over the years, how would you do that?
Well, I think there's two fundamental beliefs that we have at Kaiser Permanente. And one is that we need to treat the whole person and not just a disease, but treat the whole individual. And that means, you know, treating you for both physical symptoms you might have, mental health issues, and that's very characteristic of the care in Kaiser Permanente. But it's also about building healthy communities, because our health is affected by the community we live in. And so Kaiser is very socially minded and wants to help create healthy communities. And that's part of our drive to be part of the downtown renaissance, is really to help build that community as well.
The commitment to the community, I think, makes you stand out. It's easy to understand when that comes from a locally founded institution, but when it's from someone, from an institution, from an entity that has its headquarters elsewhere,
mm-hmm.
I think that's really unique. It makes Kaiser unique. And, you know, among the Kaiser people I know, by people I mean employees, it goes throughout, and so many of your employees give back in so many ways.
Yeah, I'm very proud that, you know, many of our employees volunteer, and we sponsor quite a few events. In fact, coming up this Sunday is our Women's Fitness Festival at the Capitol. And so we encourage all women, you know, women, bring your sisters, your daughters, your friends out. And we have 5K and 10K walk, run that people can participate in.
Well, so this morning, Saturday morning, in about an hour and a half, at 501 J Street, King's Point guard Frank Mason and other people are going to help you celebrate a public open house at 501 J Street. What all do you have planned for that?
Oh, it's very exciting. You know, we'll be offering tours, and people can see the medical office buildings for themselves, whether you're a member or not. And if you're not, we hope you are enticed by our facilities to become a member. But also, you know, one thing I'd like to point out about the building is the artwork in the building. It is the largest commercial collection of local artists in the community. There's over 300 pieces of art by local artists, beautiful art. And so if people are interested in art, they could come just for the art alone.
That sounds fantastic. So you've got the open house today, the women's event tomorrow at the Capitol.
Right.
You don't have enough going on.
Well, and then Monday we'll see our first patients.
There you go.
Yeah,
that's
we're
it.
Excited.
The building officially opens. When we return, we're going to be joined by former Sacramento Kings star Harold Presley, a friend of mine for a long time. We'd like you to join the revolution at HaitiBiz.com, the entrepreneurial revolution that we're igniting here. And it's all courtesy of Chicago Fire and Apex Appraisal Services. We'll be back with more Haney Business Project. Thanks, Chevy.
And now back to the Haney Biz Project with investorpreneur Mark Haney, coming to you from the Marquee Media Studio.
Hey, what's up? This is Greg Van Dusen subbing for Mark today, and we are here with Harold Presley, a longtime friend of mine, the tallest guest we've ever had on the show, and very possibly the nicest human being who's ever worn a Sacramento Kings uniform. How you doing, Harold?
Life is lovely. I am so blessed. Things are going great. I just got introduced by hearing the Beatles. What could be better?
Well, I'm glad you're old enough to remember who the Beatles were.
Right.
So, Harold, you were a national champion in your junior year, I think, of college.
Correct.
At Villanova.
Correct.
Raleigh Massimino was the coach.
That's my guy.
There's a famous photo of you on a ladder doing what?
Cutting down the net from that championship game.
Yeah, do you still have the net, or who's got the net?
I actually have my mom has the piece that I took.
All right.
That was actually really a wonderful time. I didn't realize I was the last one to take a piece off. So I got the entire net and took it down and didn't even know what I was doing. I just ran over to our longtime trainer who was 50 years at Villanova. He was, I believe, he was 78 years old. He was battling Lou Gehrig's, and he was in a wheelchair. I just ran over, and I put it on his head, over his head, on his neck, and gave him a kiss. And it just hit me. His birthday was last month, and I was like, whoa. I saw a picture of him with the net on it, and it just, all the memories came back. It was so beautiful.
I remember that. I was part of the Kings an arena organization when you were drafted, and we were hoping and hoping and hoping that you would last until the 17th pick that year. How did you feel about getting picked by a franchise that had a history of, that's kind of like now, not being that good?
I was so shocked. I actually was sitting in a room with all my teammates and coach at Villanova, and a call came in, and you're going to be selected next by the Sacramento Kings. I turned around, looked at my teammates to figure out who was messing around with me. And they flat out asked me, what do you know about Sacramento? I said, I didn't know Sacramento had a team. But I'm thrilled. And then I did my research and found out the players. And it became such a wonderful thing. The next day I was on a plane. I landed in Sacramento. I remember clearly Julie Fye met me at the airport, took me around. And before I got back on the plane 2-3 days later, I said, I will live in Sacramento forever. And my kids don't believe that story, but that's exactly what happened.
Well, I know you well enough to believe it. So what was it like? Did we open on the road or at home that year?
We were home, and I didn't get to play.
So what did you think about those crazy fans?
It was so electrifying. I was, coming from college, coming from Villanova, where we won a national championship and we had crowds. I was like, yeah, whatever. It's going to be a crowd. The loudness of the arena and the cowbells and all the different things that was going on, it was so much fun. The only part that wasn't was Phil Johnson didn't play me that game. And after a nice little preseason playing extremely well, I thought I was going to be the man. And I sat down and I got to play the second game, which was really nice. And I had a really good game. So at that point, I thought, yes, he understands. I can play. And it took a while for me to get back in the game.
And you could play. Was that Phil's last year?
That was his last year.
I remember this pretty well. You guys had a game at the Forum.
Yes.
In Los Angeles.
Oh, yes.
And what do you recall the score after the first quarter?
Yeah, 42-4.
That's correct.
And we were down.
Yes, 42-4. That might still be a record.
It's a record.
Yeah.
Yeah. Unfortunately, that's a record you don't want to be a part of, but at least people are talking about it.
I don't think Phil was the coach the next morning, was he?
He got fired the very next morning.
Yeah.
Yes.
It was. He was a good guy, but that wasn't a good job.
That was absolutely, again, coming from where I came from, it was the first time I experienced losing, and I didn't know how to handle it. But I actually got a call from one of my very close friends to this day, who was the last person cut from that 86 team, Bill Nelson. He said, what's going on in Sacramento? I said, you won't believe this. We just lost 17 games, and the crowd is at the airport waiting for us to come back, cheering us that we did a wonderful job. And I was just like, these people are either nuts or they just really love their Sacramento Kings.
Or both.
Or both. And it was such a, you know, to have that happen after that stretch of losses just told me you hang in there and you just, you got to, this is a place to be. This is the place you want to live if they still love you after losing.
Yeah, well, you know, I was fortunate to work with the people who owned the team and the arena, and it was our passion, our entrepreneurial passion to make Sacramento a major league city. And the Kings were the first and still only major league franchise in Sacramento, and so the fans' love affair with the Kings goes on today.
Yes, yes. You know, there's been some rough times. Obviously, that 2002-2004 team was outstanding, but the fans are still coming back. It's been a stretch here where I do believe that things are turning around. I see the players, and I'm going to let you in on a little secret that I believe they're going to take the kid from Spain this year.
Gotcha.
Yes, and that is the perfect selection. He is an outstanding player. He can really elevate this team. He's a winner, and so he's a piece that this team needs. And I really think it's headed the right direction.
That's a key word, is piece. You build it one piece at a time.
Yes.
I've never seen the Kings, and I've been following them since '82, right, professionally, since we were in Kansas City. I've never seen them take this approach to player and team development. And I know that's true of you, too. Can you tell us, from your professional experience, what makes it different this time?
Let's look at the Golden State Warriors, who is obviously top team in the league for the last several years. How did they do it? They did it through the draft. It's going to be very difficult for a team like the Kings in a small market to entice people to come into town. So you're really going to have to do it through the draft, get a good team just as the Warriors did, grab Steph Curry, grab Klay Thompson, grab Green, grab that core. People will want to come later. The Kevin Durants will want to come to a situation like that. And the Kings are doing the same approach. And that's really the way they're going to have to do it. They're not going to drag somebody. They're not going to drag LeBron James to Sacramento the way it is now.
So how important is it to get guys who are able to play the same style and have good character and the ability to get along?
You will not get it done without good character. You might as well just blow the whole thing up and just toss it all away, because if you don't have people on the same page, you don't have that core group that can lead and teach the younger kids, you're just going to create a mess. And you got to have quality people, and you got to have quality people from the top. It really begins with the leadership. Once you get that established, the rest of it will fall into place. I tell everybody that the players will fall into place. When I arrived at Villanova University, they had a couple of seniors on the team, John Pannone and Stuart Granger. And I remember John grabbed me one day and he said, "This is the way we do it, Rook. Get it right." And from that day, I was like, okay, you know, you straighten up and you do exactly what is supposed to be done. My senior year, I grabbed Doug West, who became a heck of an NBA player, and I grabbed him the same way John grabbed me. I said, this is not going to happen. We're not going to miss out on the NCAA tournament while I'm here, and we're going to do things the right way. And from that day on, we just marched along and got into the NCAA tournament. You have to be able to follow your leaders.
That's great stuff. Now you're involved in a lot of businesses.
Yes.
As well as the Treat 'Em Like a King Foundation, where you help underprivileged kids. So the structure that you're talking about, with leadership, character, culture, that's necessary to have a winning team in athletics, how does that differ? Or does it differ at all from what you have to have in business?
Does not differ at all. I actually had a nice conversation with a guy who's taking care of an awful lot of people. And the one thing he said was, I love athletes. I want to work with athletes because I know they have the drive to get it done, and they're not going to settle for losing. They're not going to settle for a half job. They're going to continue until they complete the task. It's the same in all business. You got to have a good team with you. Kaiser, I mean, that whole story of how it began in the desert, and they figured out that we have to take care of people. We got to take care of the people who are working. And if we get this stuff together, they're going to just come along. And I'm a member of Kaiser. We started back in 2010. And we would never change because of the way they treat you, the way you feel when you walk into the building. You know that they're going to help you. They're there to make sure that you get well. And it's not all this running around, let's send this person here, let's send that person there. No, here, you're here, let's take care of you. And I absolutely love that. And I think that's what all businesses should follow.
It's that culture.
That's the culture.
So Speaking of culture, you've created quite a culture with your Treat 'Em Like a King Foundation. Tell us some of the things you do there.
Oh my, Treat 'Em Like a King started back in 1996. I did started paperwork in 95. We opened doors for a group home of six children in 96. The children were 5 years old at the time. And 9 years later, I just thought, we got to do more. We have to help more people. And then we started doing things like Christmas for kids and providing all the toys that they needed to just make them smile. If you can get a kid to smile, you can get them to start listening. And it turned into, they need more help. How do we get the kids to understand that school is so important? Well, let's throw a big party and give them all the backpacks and the clothes that they need to get back on the first day. And the reason that happened was growing up, I remember in the seventh grade, junior high school, eighth grade rather, some of my friends just would not show up the first day of school. And when I finally dug into it, why didn't you come? It was the first day. It's exciting. You know, you got new clothes. You got new books. You got all this new. She's, I don't have that kind of stuff. I don't have new clothes. I don't have. And my heart just dropped. And, the first chance I got, I said, we have to get these kids clothes, and we have to get them to where they feel good enough to go to the first day of school, because that's so important. Once you feel like you're in and you fit in, as a child, I know adults, you can get around this, but as children, you want to be like other people. You know, as you go older, you don't, you know, you could care less about that. But when you start out, when you're that age, you want to feel like you fit in. And it became a tough year for the friends that I had because they had such a tough start and not feeling like they belong in the school with the rest of the people.
Yeah, so you're outfitting how many kids with backpacks and school supplies?
Oh, it's getting tough. It's growing every year. You know, we started with just a 15, 20. It got up to 100. And last year we took care of 2,500 kids.
2,500. And now,
yeah,
what's your website?
Getting tough. TLKFoundation.org.
TLKFoundation.org.
Correct.
If you want to get involved with Harold's culture, you can hear his heart as he speaks to you today. If you want to get involved with his culture, which is a winning culture, and helping kids in this region, TLKFoundation.org. Harold, I want to thank you for being here.
Thank you.
You're an absolute winner. It's been a treat to be your friend for over 30 years.
Two, 3 years.
And our whole community is just blessed that you're still here. We'll be back with some closing thoughts with Marcus as he's coming back. And we want to thank some of our sponsors. We want to thank Ethan Conrad Properties and financial advisors Stiefel, led by the Evans-Botkins team here in Roseville. We'll be right back with closing thoughts at the Haney Biz Project after this.
Welcome back to the Marquee Media Studio for Mark's takeaways from today's Haney Biz Project.
Hey, welcome back. Welcome back to the Marquee Media Studios, which can be seen from the new Kaiser building at the Marquee, not their studio, the Marquee Media billboard at I-5 and I Street can be seen from the new Kaiser building at 501 J Street.
I think there's somebody I know on that puppy too, right?
I believe so. I think it's the boss.
All right. Old Pops.
Yeah. Interesting show today about culture and humility and hungriness. And you could see it in Sandy and the whole Kaiser culture. You could certainly see it in Harold. What'd you think, Marcus?
I really liked Harold's message of, you know, you kind of get yourself into a place where you may not know anybody, not sure what you're getting into, but you never stop fighting, right? And I think that that's something that, you know, Kaiser does as well, from the starting out in the desert, giving, you know, care to their folks. Hey, they didn't look at a problem and say, hey, we're going to give up. They said, no, we're going to keep fighting. We're going to allow our people to keep fighting. And I think that's something that we can all take away from.
Yeah, I didn't know that story before. Yeah. And the fact that this healthcare behemoth, Kaiser Permanente, started because these guys were building a dam and they had to take care of their own people.
That's crazy, right? Yeah, and they've taken their entire corporate culture and narrowed it down to one word, which we've all really tried to do, and that's thrive. And that's exactly what they've done for folks here in the Sacramento region.
Yeah, I found it absolutely incredible. So they were behind the eight ball building that dam and having some healthcare issues down there. They didn't give up.
Right.
They fought. Harold was on that famous team in 86, 87 that did, in fact, get behind 42-4.
Can you imagine?
After one quarter. Oh, I was watching it, and it was so embarrassing being part of the organization, but they didn't give up.
Right.
They kept fighting. As a Marine, what's that mean to you?
What that means, you know, I think there's a couple different famous generals who have said, you know, retreat hell. We're not going to retreat. We're just going to attack or fight in a different direction. So I think as an entrepreneur, as somebody that gets punched in the mouth every once in a while throughout their business life, that, hey, it's okay to reevaluate, look at the best way to go about a situation in order to win for the overall good of the organization.
You know, and you know, that same theme is why the Allegiant Giving Corporation was founded.
Absolutely.
Was to help combat wounded veterans like yourself. Now,
like yourself.
Like you're thriving. Yeah, but mine's all up here. No, I mean, we all have issues because of, you know, when somebody goes into combat, they see things, they hear things, they witness things, smell things that we as humans really aren't meant to. And so these days, you know, post-traumatic stress is a big issue. And the Allegiant Giving Corporation is now getting into service dogs.
Yeah,
what does that mean to you with Ruff?
Yeah, well, there's a statistic out there that 22 veterans a day commit suicide. I have some personal experience with that. A few of my friends have taken their own life, and that's really tough. And you have organizations like Ruff who are bringing on trained service dogs to really be that best friend to these combat wounded veterans, to really give them some stability that allows them to, you know, have something there, somebody there, a dog to be exact, to really allow them to offset that stress and give them some normality, right? Because like you said, sometimes you come back from combat and you're just not the same.
You know, you said something really important there, and it's have somebody. Because when you're on a sports team, or you're in a group, or you're in a combat unit, you have a team.
Right.
It's very close. It's very, very close. And when you come back from combat, you're alone.
Right.
And that's the hardest part. And what people don't understand, I think, about post-traumatic stress is it's normal. If you're subjected to those really crazy situations, well, you should feel weird about it.
No, but, yeah.
And so what we can do by helping veterans with service dogs or action track chairs or whatever it is help them to know that the feelings they're having are normal, and it's okay to be around people. It's okay to have a support dog. It's okay. But you have to stop short of the antisocial behavior.
Absolutely. It's the power of with, right? Like we talk about
Amen.
On the show all the time, right? With Ruff, with the Allegiant Giving Corporation, with Black Oak Casino, we can really do some life-changing stuff for our veterans out there.
Well said. Well said. You know, we can't do this show without a whole bunch of sponsors, and I'd like to talk about a few of them. Our first sponsor ever was Five Star Bank, the Entrepreneurs Bank, and they're involved in so many things we do. You got them involved in the golf tournament last year, and they came back this year. What is it with Five Star?
The Entrepreneurs Bank, James Beckwith and Jason Hartman over there are two fantastic guys who really put their neck out on the line for entrepreneurs here in our community. So having a partner like that, myself with my business, is just invaluable.
Absolutely. We want to thank our newest sponsor. They came on board last week. It's DSA Technologies. They do outsourced IT services. And with them, you get a team, not just one person. So they have a lot of really deep experience. We look forward to you joining us next week. Please wish Mark and his family the very best as they go through some family issues. Thanks for joining us, Marcus. Thanks, and thanks for your service. And as we adjourn here, we want to say how much we love the nation. We love the 13 stripes and the 50 stars. And we are never above you, never below you, always by your side.